We're going to start today our daf is Yud Zayin, Rosh Hashanah Yud Zayin. We're going to start from the bottom of Tet Zayin Amabet. Yesterday's Mishnah talked about that there's four Rosh Hashanim. Now we have the four Prakim HaOlam Nidom. We'll start for 1 second at the top of Tet Zayin Amud Aleph. So B'Pesach Al HaTfu'ah, B'Pesach they've decided how much crops are going to be. B'Atzeret Al Perot HaIlan, okay, on Shavuot, about the fruits of the trees, like the bikurim. B'Rosh Hashanah, kol ba'ei olam avrim lefanav kivnei mechon, she'ne'emar ha'yoter yachad livam havino kol ma'aseihem. So people are judged on Rosh Hashanah. U'b'chag nidonim al ha'mayim. And on Sukkot, they're judged on how much water. So basically, there's four things that we're judged by. The crops, the tree, the fruits of the trees, the people are judged, and how much water we receive. Okay, through that, the Gemara starts getting into all sorts of issues about tshuva and gzardin, which we're going to learn today. Once there's a gzardin, can you do tshuva? One of the last things the Gemara discussed was the three categories of people and the famous source that we know. It was actually told in the name of Rav Kraspedai, who I actually don't recall ever hearing his name. We'll see if he comes up some other time, about the three books that are opened on Rosh Hashanah, right? That for the Tzaddikim, Gemurim, right? Who everybody remembers that from nursery. Right? That's the first thing we learn about Rosh Hashanah, about these books. And the Tzaddikim, Gemurim, that are immediately get life. The Rasha'im, Gemurim, immediately get death. And the Beinoniim, Ritzluim, Beomdim, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippurim. And then, depending on how they do, that's what happens. Then they get judged. So now, in that vein, the Gemara starts in the name Beit Shammai, and it brings a bright to 5 lines from the bottom. Tanya Beit Shammai Amrim, Shalosh Kitot Hem LeYom Hadin. Now, they move on to the future Yom Hadin. So Rashi says, this is Tchiyat HaMetim. Okay, so in Tchiyat HaMetim, there's also three categories. There's Achad Shal Tzadikim Gemurim, Achad Shal Rasha'im Gemurim, Achad Shal Beinoniim. The same three categories, the real tzadikim, the real rasha'im, and the middle guys. Tzadikim gemurim nechtavim v'nechtamim la'altar. So again, the tzadikim, the pure tzadikim, they will be judged immediately l'chaye olam, for future life, tchiyat ha'metim. Rasha'im gemurim nechtavim v'nechtamim la'altar l'gehenom. They immediately get gehenom. She'ne'amar v'rabim yishenei admat afar yakitsu. As they talk about, in the Pasuk that talks about, one of the Pasuk that discussed Tchiyat HaMetim in Daniel, says, many of the people sleeping in the ground will wake up for Chaye Olam, for eternal life. Ve'ele l'charafot l'dera'on olam. And the others will be for, you know, they'll forever be down in the bottom. Beinoniim, so what about the Beinoniim? What happens to them? Yordim l'gehenom, if you notice in this pasuk, it really only discussed two types of people, the Rasha'im and the Tzadikim. So now they have to find a third pasuk which addresses the Beinoniim. Now this pasuk is not going to be found in Daniel, where Daniel was discussing this. It's found somewhere else. And from the Pshat, it's actually not talking about this, but we'll get to the Pshat after we see the Drash. The Beinoniim, Yordim l'gehenom, umitzafzafim ve'olim. They go down to Gehenom, and then they're kind of going up and down. Rashi says they're tzoakim u'bochim mitoch yisurin sha'achat. They get 1 hour of torture, and then they come up. She'ne'emar, how do we know this? Because it says in Zechariah, Perek Yud Gimel, okay, let me just open it so I can show you the context there. Okay, in Zechariah, I'll read you again first the pasuk the way they explain it. V'heveti et hashlishit ba'esh. The third group, right, or the third, is going to go in fire. So how do they explain this? Here's the third group that we were missing. That wasn't mentioned in Daniel. There was only mentioned two. Here's the third. What's going to be with them? They're going to go ba'esh. V'tzeraftim kitzrofet ha'kesef. U'bechantim kibachonet ha'zahav. They're going to be melted like the gold and silver. Hu yikra b'shmi v'ani e'ane oto. Okay? He's going to then call out in my name and I will answer him. So they're going to suffer a little bit. They're going to go in fire and kind of like the silver and the gold get melted. But then they're going to call out to me and I'm going to answer him. Balehem amrachana Hashem memit u'mechaye morit she'ol v'ya'a. She'ol is the depths of the underground, right? So they're going to be brought down and then taken up. Okay, that's the drasha of this pasuk of this third group. Just to point out to you that clearly it's not the pshat, because what does the pshat say? The pshat says, "V'haya b'chol ha'aretz ne'um Hashem, pi shnayim v'yikartu yigav'u, v'hashlishi yivaterba." Two-thirds of the people are going to be killed and destroyed. And the third that's left, they're going to be brought into the fire, and then I'm going to answer them. So it's clearly not referring to the two other thirds are not the Rishayim and the Tzadikim. They're the people that are going to be totally wiped out. But the Gemara is darshaning in its typical way that we can basically understand it's not according to the Pshat, and here's that third group that we couldn't find otherwise. Okay, that was Beit Shammai. So Beit Shammai says the Beinoniim are basically going to go down to the depths and then come up. But Beit Hillel disagrees in a typical fashion. Beit Hillel amrim v'rav chesed. Matek klapei chesed. V'alehem amar David, ahavti ki ishma Hashem et koli. V'alehem amar David, kol ha'parsha kula. Talotiv li Yehoshua. Talotiv li Yehoshua, period. So now, what do we have here? Beit Shammai says, what does it mean that God is rav chesed? He's matek klapei chesed. That means if you're a Beinoni, and you're half-half, or right, you don't know where. Instead of saying you're going to first, Beit Shammai says you're going to first go down to the depths and only then come up to kind of purge you of all your sins, Beit Hillel says, no, God is going to take that scale and tip the balance for you. And he's going to tip it always, klape chesed. That's what it means, berav chesed, like rov chesed, right? He's going to move it over to the chesed. And that's where David says, and now they're going to say this whole parsha, that we say in Hallel every week, that whole parshah, what does that mean? That's all talking about the Beinoni. That whole section. Daluti b'liyehoshua. Daluti means I'm dal, I'm poor. Poor not from poverty. Poor from ma'asim tovim. I don't have enough ma'asim tovim, but God, you're going to save me. So that this whole section is all about God helping save those Beinoniim from suffering. Okay, and that's why he says, clearly they're not going to suffer. So just to recap for one quick second, we have Beit Shammai who says the Beinoniim are going to go, when it comes time for Tchiyat HaMetim, first they're going to be burned and suffering Gehenom, and then they're going to come up. And that comes from Chana who says, Morid Sha'ol Vaya'al, and comes from some other psukim. And then we have Beit Hillel who says, no, they're not going to suffer at all. God's going to bring in his Tzad Rachmanut, and he's going to be Mateh the whole, right, like, tip the balance in favor of them. Okay. Now we hear about, so until now we had the Tzadikim, Gemurim, the Rishaim Gemurim, right? The Tzadikim Gemurim are going to go and get eternal life. The Rishaim Gemurim are going to go get eternal Gehenom. And then we have all the middle people. Now we're going to start to see there's not just three categories, there's actually some other categories. Poshei Yisrael begufan, v'poshei umot ha'olam begufan, Yordim legehenom v'nidonim v'ayud bet chodesh. Lachar yud bet chodesh. Okay, so now we have these two new categories. There's poshei Yisrael begufan, people who sin with their bodies, and poshei umot ha'olam begufan, and non-Jewish sinners who sin with their bodies. We don't know yet what this means. The Gemara is going to explain later an interpretation of what this means. What happens to these people? They go to Gehenom and they get judged for 12 months. Lachar yubek chodesh, after these 12 months, and they kind of suffer in Gehenom for 12 months. After 12 months, gufan kale, their body is no longer, nishmatan nisrefet, their neshama is burned, beruach mifazartan, okay, the wind comes and blows their ashes, tacha kapot raglei tzadikim, underneath the feet of the tzadikim. Where do we get this from? Shenemar, vaasotem rishaim, Asotem, I looked it up in the Dab Mikra, they explain the Lashon, is from, what do you do with an Isa? It's from Isa, a dough. You trample the dough, right? They're going to, it's going to be, right, like knead the dough with their feet here. Okay? In other words, the Rishaim are going to be trodden upon by the Tzadikim, because they're going to be like ashes under their feet. So what they say, what ashes under their feet? So they're saying, after they go through Gehenna, they're going to be burned to ashes, their ashes are going to end up under the feet of the tzaddikim. Okay, so we have this new category about these people, that this is going to happen to them. Aval haminim v'hamisarot v'hapikorsim. Okay, here's shekafu b'torah, v'shekafu b'tchiyat ha'metim, v'shepirshu midarchei tzibur, v'shenatnu chitatam be'eretz chayim, V'shechatu v'echtiu et harabim kigon Yeravam ben Nevat b'chavirav. Okay, these people, we'll get to who they are exactly in a minute. Yoredim l'gehenom, they go down to hell. B'nidonim ba l'dorei dorot, they go down there for generations and generations. Shenemar v'yatzu v'ra'u b'pigrei ha'anashim ha'poshim bi. Okay, that's a pasuk from Yeshayahu. Okay, and it says ki. Says, okay, there will be right, they'll see these people forever. And what does it say here? Okay, that's the end for right now. So let's stop for a minute. Let's explain who all these people are. Okay, so these people are in another category where they go down to Gehenom and they're there forever and ever and ever. As opposed to ones that were there for 12 months and then their ashes, right, they were then burned. These guys are there forever and ever. Okay, so now who are these people? Not 100% clear. Okay, there's different opinions. The Minim are either people who, like Christians, some people say the Minim are the Christians. Some people say that it's just the different kitot that there were in Judaism, right? That we know that there were all these factions that kind of split off. Could be them. The Misarot, Rashi explains that they're Malshinim, that they would be Mosrim Mamon Yisrael B'yad Hovdei Kochavim. And, right, informers. Rashi claims that they're financial informers. It's unclear if that's the only issue. Apikorsim, so Rashi explains it's Mivazet Tamidei Chachamim. There's different interpretations about who these Apikorsim are. What's the difference between the Minim and the Apikorsim? Some people distinguish that the Minim don't believe in God at all, and the Apikorsim believe in God, but just don't believe that there's divine intervention in the world. In other words, that God didn't give the Torah, and God doesn't have, there's no Hashgacha Pratit. Okay, it's unclear exactly where we define these people. Shekafru b'Torah, if you read this in a particular way, it sounds like the Apikorsim Shekafru b'Torah. But it seems from the explanations that people think that's another category. Elu shekafru b'Torah, and they don't believe the Torah is mishamayim. Okay, that's what Rashi says. Then, shekafru b'tchiyat ha'metim, that's easy, right? They say there's no tchiyat ha'metim. Shepershu midarchei tzibur. Okay, it's unclear what exactly this means. Rashi says, we don't have this girsa. Okay, it doesn't belong here. Other people explain that what's pershu midarchei tzibur? That they're not involved with the tzarot of the people. And that's like a big deal, right? That they just kind of live in their own world and they're not connected with the issues that are going on in the tzibur. Yeah, that's an interesting one, right? You see, if you take that interpretation, we see this a lot, and we're going to actually see this today, about the yachid versus the tzibur and how much koach Judaism gives to the tzibur. We know this in many ways. We're going to see this a lot today, and here I think it's the first insight into it, that up there with Apikorsim and Minim and all these people who don't believe in God at all, it's people who just live their own lives, right? They could be very close to God, but they ignore the people. And that's, you know, that's a very serious offense here, which is very interesting. Okay, v'shenadu chitatam ba'aretz chayim, it means they put the fear of themselves into people. In other words, they we're going to see this later about a ruler who kind of just makes the people fear them. We're going to see later how they explain this. Shechatu v'echtiu et harabim, right? Not only do they sin, they make others sin, like Yeravam ben Nevat, who basically made a new Beit HaMikdash somewhere else and brought these Egle Zahav and did all these things that made other people sin. Okay, him and his friends. So all these people, Yordim l'genom, Yordim l'dorei dorot, Shneimar v'tzu v'ru v'kirayim Hashem ha'poshim. Okay. And that also means you're going to go out and see the bodies of these people that were poshim because they're going to be there forever and ever and ever. Gehenom kale v'hein einam kalim. Now that's a really interesting statement. It says that eventually Gehenom is going to be wiped out. I don't know exactly what that means. But Gehenom won't exist, but these people will still be there. In other words, I don't think it really means that Gehenom will not exist anymore, but the point is that these people are going to outlive Gehenom. They're still going to be suffering when there's no more suffering. They're really there, l'dorei dorot. Okay? Shenemar, v'tzuram levalot she'ol mizvulo. Okay, that's a pasuk from Tehillim. Okay, it says, so what does it mean? V'tzuram levalot she'ol. Their tzura is going to be in she'ol, in the depths. Mizvulo. Mizvulo. Zvul is a dwelling. So from its in other words, more than it will dwell, they will be dwelling there. Okay? So now they do a drasha on Zvul. Okay? What is Zvul? B'chol kach lama, why are they going to suffer so much? Mipnei shepashtu yidehem bazvul. So now we're going to darshan. That word meant the Zvul of the Sheol, right? That the hell will not exist anymore. They're going to outlive hell. But now they're saying why? Because of what they did to the Zvul. What does that mean? Ein Zvul, shenemar mizvul lo, ein Zvul ela Beit HaMikdash. Zvul is the Beit HaMikdash. Right? What better dwelling do we have? The Beit HaMikdash. It's interesting. In the same pasuk, Zvul means hell. And now Zvul means, right, the dwelling of hell or where it lives. Now it means the Beit HaMikdash. And they're saying they're going to suffer so badly and outlive hell because they pashtuyi dehem Zvul. They've caused the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. Shneamar, Mizvul lo, ve'ein Zvul ela Beit HaMikdash. Shneamar, bano baniti Beit Zvul lecha. There we have a pasuk where it says, in Malachim Aleph, where Shlomo calls the Beit HaMikdash Beit Zvul. Hashem will destroy those who fight against him. So now what we have is basically these people are, we've decided that they're in the category that they're going to outlive hell. The meaning that, of course, in the Mesorot, Kafru B'Torah, Kafru B'Tchat HaMitim, Pashu B'Dachay Tzibur, B'Shadachnil Chita'atam Be'eretz Chayim, they basically destroyed, they brought about the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash for their sins. And because of that, they are now going to outlive hell. You can kind of say their dwelling, right? They destroyed God's dwelling, so now God's going to basically, they're going to, it's almost also, it seemed to me like their evil is going to wear away hell. Like they're so bad that it's basically wearing away hell. Okay.
Well, if they destroyed the Beit HaMikdash and then Hashem had no set home, now they will be stuck and they will still be wandering and suffering when they have no set home because Gehinnom will be gone.
Yes, so interesting. So they'll end up without a home. That's good. That's also good. Okay. Again, I didn't mention this, but you know, obviously this whole all hell imagery is somewhat difficult for us to to digest, but. Seth was just telling a story of Rosh Chodesh about the Pope. How the Pope once went to, I forget what he said, and it was the only place where they could do it was in some stadium, and it was a stadium where their mascot was the devil. So they had to cover all the devil. You know? Apropos current events, the Pope coming. Anyway, okay. So, and the fact that this hell imagery is more Christian in nature to us, or Catholic, the concept for us is more difficult to absorb. But it does come up in our psukim, and the rabbis use it as an image, right? It doesn't, we don't discuss it a lot, and it's not a central theme to our religion. But here they are talking about what's going to be the Tzfiyat HaMitim and where are people going to end up, and they're using that imagery. Okay, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avin, Upnehem Domim L'Shulei Kedera. Okay, now we have a weird thing. The Benoniim that we discussed, they're going to go down to hell for an hour, according to Beit Shammai, right? Or for a period of time, and then they're going to come up. So now, when these Benoniim come up, what happened? They obviously are tainted by their experience. This is actually a very interesting image. So their faces are going to be black, like when you have a pot, this happened to me over Shabbat, I burned something, and the pot had this black, and I couldn't get it all off, right? You can't get that black off entirely. So that's the way they're going to look. Okay, it's interesting, but what it really means, it actually, right? We're all what's the word? We're all a function of our life experience, and if you go down to hell for an hour, it's indelible. You can't take that off. You can't erase it from your life, and it impacted them. I think you can see it in that kind of way, not necessarily in a physical way that you see it, right? You think of the picture of Dorian Gray, right, and the whole concept of the face. Of reflecting your experiences, or in that case, not exactly, or not at all. So he says their faces are domim l'shulei k'deira. The Amar Rava. Now we have a few different interpretations of this next sentence. Ve'inu mishapire shafire b'nei mechoza u'makaryam b'nei gehenom. And they are from the most beautiful of the beautiful of mechoza, and they're called b'nei gehenom. A lot of ways to interpret this, and a lot of interesting thoughts. Some people say the beautiful people of b'nei mechoza were evil underneath, really like the picture of Dorian Gray. Now, they look beautiful, but they were really evil underneath. And because Shapir, right, the root is beauty. So So it's saying that these beautiful people of the name Mechoza, Rebbe was from Mechoza, and he said, but they're really B'nai Gehinnom, they really have evil things going on underneath. Some people say, no, these people who came out of Gehinnom and still have a little bit of Gehinnom in them, they're beautiful, though. They're called the B'nai Gehinnom because they went down to Gehinnom, but their faces come out, even though they have this blackness on them, they have this beauty on them. And I was thinking, it's almost like, you know, through difficult experiences, sometimes you come out stronger and more beautiful. And that's maybe what, you know, the opposite image of what the first interpretation was, that these are the bad people. It's really saying they were the Benonim who went down to hell, but now they came up, and now they have this beauty on them. Even though they're called the B'nai Gehinnom, because the Gehinnom gave them that experience. So they're kind of like those people who went through trauma. They're called, they were traumatized, but now they've come out, and they're much stronger. Amar Mar. Beit Hillel Umrim. Now we're going to go back to Beit Hillel. Beit Hillel Umrim, Virav Chesed. Matek klape chesed. It tilts in the, right, instead of saying they go down to Gehinnom for an hour and they come up, God tilts the scales so that the chesed comes out stronger. So now they say, v'hakti, but it says in the pasuk, v'hebeti etashlishi ba'esh, that pasuk that we learned in the beginning of the daf, that the third group goes into fire, and that's the, we understood it as those, that third group of people. So now they say, oh, no. The third group, which was these Benonim, who it says that they go down in fire and then come out, Hatam b'posh Yisrael b'gufan. Now we get back to this concept we talked about before. That's if you're a Benoni plus you're posh Yisrael b'gufan. So they say posh Yisrael b'gufan. V'ha'amar le'luhu takanta. But didn't you say they don't have a takana? Right? We said before the posh Yisrael are going to go down to Gehinnom. I think it said forever, right? Oh, no. Yubechodesh. Then they're going to be burned up. And then the tzaddikim are going to trample on them. So how could you say the posh Yisrael are going to go down for a little while and then come up, and the other posh Yisrael b'gufan are going to get destroyed? They're all the same. So now they say, no, there's two different types of posh Yisrael b'gufan. Ki leilu takanta b'rov avonot. There's posh Yisrael b'gufan that are full of, they have mostly averot, plus in addition to the fact that they have more averot than good deeds, they also are considered posh Yisrael b'gufan. They did something with their bodies, which we'll see in a few minutes what that is. But the people who are mechza al mechza, the people who have hacha mechza avonot or mechza zchuyot, vi'i peinami avon posh Yisrael b'gufan, lo sagile delav v'heveti et ha-shlishipa, lo sagile, one second, how do you read this? Vi'i peinami avon Yisrael b'gufan, lo sagile, de lav, one second, de lav, hebeti tshob esh, ve'im lav, ve'rab chesed, matek lape chesed. So now, if you have mechza al mechza, okay, so now it depends. There's two types of benonim now we learned. There's benonim who are mechza al mechza, but within that mechza al mechza, what do they have? They're also posh Yisrael b'gufan. So those are the people that we say, ve'hebeti tashlishi ba'esh. They go through the fire and then come out. But in lav, if they don't have anything, then rab chesed, matek lape chesed. So that's how Beit Hillel explains it. Beit Shammai says there's just Benonim. Everybody's the same. Beit Hillel says, no. There's Benonim who basically have poshe Yisrael b'gufan. They're also, they've done up a rote with their goof. And they end up having to go down to Gehinnom and then coming up. And according to, but then there's the Benoniim who don't have this Avera on their heads, this Poshe Yisrael B'gufan, they're regular Benoniim, and for them God tilts the scales into the right direction. Balehen Amar David, and these are the people that David said, Ahavti ki Yishma Hashem. Okay, and that continues with the rest of what Beit Hillel said, where he darshan that whole keta. Darash Rava, my dechtiv, Ahavti ki Yishma Hashem. What does this mean? Amra Knesset Yisrael lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam. When am I beloved before you? When you hear me calling to you. What does that mean? Even though I don't have enough mitzvot, you should save me. Okay. Now we're going to get to finally, what is this Poshe Yisrael B'gufan? Poshe Yisrael B'gufan, my nihu. Amarav, Rav explains, this is Karkafta delon manach tefillin, a skull that never put on tefillin. Some people say it's a never put on tefillin. Is it just he doesn't put on tefillin every day? It's unclear. But many of the Mepharshim say it's that he never ever wore tefillin. Okay? And that's, he was poshe beguf because he didn't wear tefillin. Some people say it extends to other things also. Tefillin was just an example. But then you have to say what else is included in this category. Posh'ei umot ha'olam b'gufan, how do you explain then? Because they don't have the mitzvah of tefillin. Can't be that. Amara ba'avera. Okay, what is ba'avera? Avera means avera shel giloy harayot. Okay, sexual promiscuity. And that's b'gufan, which you would think also would be the same category for us, right? It's interesting that tefillin is more essential here than, right, which is really ben adam l'makom, rather than the promiscuity, which is ben adam l'chavera. Okay. V'shenatnu chitatam be'eretz chayim. Amar Rav Chisda, ze parnas hamatil ema yitera ala tzibur shelo l'shem shamayim. What does it mean, people who put their fear into people living? It means people who are in a leadership position and use that leadership to, right, they put fear into people, shelo l'shem shamayim. You know, they do it for their own glory. And they make people fear them, really for no good reason. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, kol parnas hamatil ema yitera ala tzibur shelo l'shem shamayim, eino ro'e ben tamid chacham. Okay, anybody who does this will not have sons who are tamidei chachamim. Shene'emar, that pasuk in Iyov, lachen yire'uhu anashim, lo yire'e kol chachmei lev. Anyone who fears, who makes people fear him, yire'uhu anashim, right, people fear him, lo yire'e kol chachmei lev. He won't be able to see people who are wise. Which means, here they explain it, it means he won't see. What does it mean not to see? He won't bear children who are chachmele. Beit Hillel omrim, right, which is interesting, you can think about it. If, right, his avera is dafka that he couldn't be a good leader, so his punishment is that his sons won't be able to continue in his path, really. Beit Hillel omrim, Rav Chesed matek ha pechesed, hechi avid. How does it work? What happens to the averot? Rabbi Eliezer Omer Kovsho. He conquers them. Okay, God conquers them. Some people say Kovesh is to kind of push them down. He presses them down until they're almost nothing. Shenemar Yeshuv Yirachamenu Yechbosh Avonotenu. Right, we learn that from the Pasuk, right? He has Rachamim on us and he will be Kovesh or Avonot. Rabbi Yossi Chanina Omer Nose. Shenemar Nose Avon Vavar Pesha. What happens when you go on a seesaw, right? And you have one kid who's big and one kid who's little. So how do you get the big kid up? Right? You pick him up. So that's what it means, no say. He lifts up that side so that even though really it is even, right? Here we're talking about even, but right, he'll lift it up so that it won't be heavy. You have to think about what the difference between these two opinions is. If you're kovesh, it's almost like it's not there anymore. If you're lifting it up, you're just kind of giving it a boost, but it's still, the weight is still there and the averot is still there. It's not like he's making them any smaller. So look at it that way. Okay, we're going to get to this concept also in a few minutes about what happens. If God kind of overlooks something, does it mean it's not there? Does it come back? Okay, we're going to have an interesting discussion here. Tana de Rabbi Yishmael, Ma'avir Rishon Rishon. Okay, right, we know that from the Tefillah, right? Ma'avir Rishon Rishon. He goes in 1-1-1. V'chein hi amida. What does that mean? That basically God will forgive us for our first time we sin. Okay, this is very common, right? Often you can have a first offense and they let it go, but the second time already they don't. So now they say, right, this is something we see, chayni amida, this happens in reality also. Amarava, va'avon atzmo eino nimchak. And here he says, though, even though God passes over the first time, it's not erased. So what's the relevance of it not being erased? Di'i karuba avonot machshiv bahadai. Then when it comes in the end, if the guy continues in his ways, then the first offense counts. And he's responsible for it also. Right? It's almost, I'll give a different example that has nothing to do with this. You go to a chug, they say the first time you don't have to pay. Right? But in the end, when you do pay, you pay for that first time. It's only if you don't opt in, then you don't pay for that first time. It's the same kind of thing here. That, you know, if you don't continue, so fine, we'll kind of get rid of it. We'll overlook it. But in the end, if you continue in that way, then it's never going to be erased, and it'll count. Different nusach here, one second. Amarava. Kol ha-ma'avir al-midotav ma'avirim lo al-kol psha'av. Anybody who isn't makpir on others for things people do to them, somebody does bad things, and they overlook it. If you overlook it, then what will happen? God will overlook your sins. Okay, kol ha-ma'avir al-midotav ma'avirim lo al-kol psha'av. Shene'emar, nosei avon va'over al-pesha. How do we explain this? Lemi nosei avon, who is he going to be, you know, lift their avonot as if they're not there? Lemisha over al-pesha. Okay? Not that God is both, the drasha is, that God is nosei avon to those who overlook other people's sins. Very interesting. Rav Huna b'rit Rav Yoshua chalash. Now we're going to hear a story about this. Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yoshua, got sick. Al Rav Papa l'shiyule bay, Rav Papa came to ask him, how are you doing? Chazir de chalashle, he saw that he was very weak and he was going to die. Chalashle alma, that his world was going to end, right? His life was going to end. Amar lehu tzvitu le zavdata. He said to the people around him, go bring the tachrichim, right? The clothes to clothe him in when he dies. L'sof itpach. He got better. So have a mitzvah for Papa lemitzvah. Rav Papa now is embarrassed because he basically thought he almost killed him, right? He kind of predicted he was going to die. And now he's embarrassed to go see him. Amar le, so now, Rav Huna, brave Rav Yoshua, who was almost dead, says, I'm sorry, the rabbis that were around him, or the people around him, said, my chazi, what did you see when you were, you know, while you were sick? Amar lehu, he said to them, in hachi hava. It really happened, like Rav Papa thought. I really was about to die. Va'amar lehu akadosh baruch hu, and Hashem said to them, to the people, right there, I guess the people who wanted to take him away and kill him, ho'il v'lomokim b'mile, lo takumu b'hadeh. Since he's not makpid on other people, we shouldn't be makpid on him. Don't take him. I actually thought that this story, what's he really trying to say? I think in what he's telling the other rabbis, he's trying to say, I'm not angry at Rav Papa anymore. That's the pshat of the story. He's saying, my whole reason I was saved is because I overlooked people doing bad things to me. So clearly he was trying to say, in hachi havi, he's saying, this really did happen, what Rav Papa thought. As he was trying to say, I forgive you, Rav Papa, for what you did, and that the whole reason I was saved is because I can overlook. So don't be embarrassed and come back. Okay. We all know that this isn't always the easiest thing, to overlook when somebody wrongs you. And we even see lots of stories of the Gemara. If you remember, there was that story of the guy who they tried, in the same issue of Mechila and Avon, and the story where they came 13 times to ask for forgiveness, and he wouldn't forgive him, and then he actually moved to he told him to move somewhere else so that he wouldn't be near him. Anyway, there's a whole story in Yoma about it. Okay, l'sheirit nachalato. Okay, the continuation of that pasuk, right? Mi el kamocha nosei avon v'avir ha-pesha l'sheirit nachalato. It's the famous pasuk in Micha that we bring up in Yamim Noraim because it's like the Yogimon Midot. It's similar to them. What's l'sheirit nachalato? Amar Rav Acha bar Chanina. It's like a tail, a big fat tail, which is a good thing because it has a lot of meat on it, but there's a kotz in it. Okay? It's saying, God has rachamim, but for who? For the she'irit, not for everybody. Okay? So it's like a good thing, but with a little bittersweet. Who does God forgive? Those who make themselves like the leftovers. In other words, they're not the arrogant people, basically. It's going against arrogance. I'm saying don't be arrogant, which also goes with the last concept. He who is arrogant isn't able to forgive others. But if you make yourself less important, then it's easier to forgive others.
What was the problem in the Rav Papa story? I don't
understand. Rav Papa basically predicted he was going to die, and therefore Rav Papa became embarrassed and said, I can't go to him anymore because I said go bring the tachrichim to bury him. And then he came back to life, and he said, oh my God, I almost killed him, basically, by predicting he was dead. Right. So he was embarrassed to go see him. So then, basically, the rabbi was darshaning to the students, saying, when I was there, I saw that God's pamalia shamala, right? They forgave me because God said, he's not makpid on others, so you shouldn't be makpid on him. And for that midah, he got saved. And therefore, I think, in a way, he was trying to tell Rav Papa, come back, I'm not angry.
And it wasn't about you. You didn't do anything.
Right.
You were right.
Right, right. It's also true. It's not only were you not wrong, and not only am I forgiving you, but you didn't even do anything wrong.
You didn't do anything wrong. That's what
right.
I'm saying.
Right. He just wrong. Felt okay. Awkward that he had...
He felt funny.
Right.
Okay.
Right. He was embarrassed. Mm-hmm. Okay, Rav Huna Ramik Tif. Rav Huna says there's a contradiction in the pasuk. We're going to see a whole bunch of pasukim that go in this way. Tzadik Hashem b'chol drachav. God is righteous, right? What does righteous mean? Tzedek u'mishpat. It means you judge people for what you see. Uchtiv b'chassid b'chol ma'asav. But on the other hand, he's a chassid. We're going to see all these pasukim they have. On the one hand, God is truth. On the other hand, he's chesed. So now they're going to darshan them all the same way. B'tchilat tzadik u'levasof chassid. Okay, first he judges people, but then in the end of the judgment, he brings in the midah chesed. Rabbi Elazar, Rami Ktiv. It works very well for this pasuk with the order. We're going to see there's all these other pasukim that the order is reversed, and yet they say it's they're dashing in the reverse order. Rabbi Elazar, Rami, and he says it's Ktiv Lecha Hashem Chesed. Uktiv Ki Atata Shalem Leish Kema Asehu. Right? You're going to pay back people according to their ma'asim. So how could it say that? So now they say Bitzchila Ki Atata Shalem Kema Asehu. Ulevasov Ulecha Hashem Chesed. Ilfe Va'amrla Ilfa. Rame, whether it's Ilfi or Ilfa, he said also there's a contradiction. K'tiv b'Rav Chesed, u'k'tiv b'Emet, right? Rav Chesed b'Emet. So what do you do? B'tchila b'Emet, u'levasof b'Rav Chesed. Okay, that's the order. Now we're going to see the Yugimel Midot. This is the basic source for Slichot and why we say the Yugimel Midot in Slichot. Okay, it doesn't say this explicitly, but this is clearly the source they refer to. Vayavor Hashem al panav vayikra, right? The pasuk that we introduce all the Yugimel Midot when we're in Slichot. That's the pasuk in the Torah where it says that God, right, Vayavor Hashem al panav vayikra. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Umale mikra katuv, if this wasn't a pasuk that was written, iyafshar la'umro. You wouldn't have been able to say it. Okay? Milamed, shenit'atek ha-kadosh baruch hu kishaliach tzibor. Okay, here's a real image, right, which is just an image. The God was nit'atef like a shaliach tzibor, okay? He put on a talit. Ve'her'alo le'moshe seder tefillah. Okay, and he shows Moshe the seder tefillah. Amar lo kol zman sh'Yisrael chot'im ya'asu lefanai k'seder hazeh v'ani mocheh lechem. Okay, he says, whenever, this is basically, they're saying there was this scene that happened in Shemayim that God told Moshe, he said, anytime Yisrael do an avera, they should come and say these psukim and I will forgive them. Now they're going to darshan some of these pesukim, right? The Yugim Omido. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is the pesuk from Shmuel Lamed Aleph. Vayavor Hashem apanai veikra, Hashem Hashem el rachum v'chanun, erach apanai v'rab chesed ve'emet. Hashem Hashem, ani hu vaychu Hashems, ani hu kodem sheyachta adam, v'ani hu lechar la'achar sheyachta adam v'yaseh tshuva, el rachum v'chanun. In other words, Hashem Hashem el rachum v'chanun means, I am Hashem before the sin, but then I am Hashem after, and after he does tshuva, I will become rachum v'chanun. Amar Yuda, Brit Kruta Yugim Midot, Sheinan Chazrot Rekam. It's a promise. There was a promise made at that point, kind of like, right, the Brit at the Mabul, right, that I'll never bring a Mabul again. So they're saying there was a Brit here, Shene Amar, Hine Anochi Korek Brit. Okay, the Pasuk says it. Neged Kol Amcha Asen Flod Asher Lo Nivru B'chol Ha'aretz V'chol Ha'goyim V'ra'ah Kol Ha'am Asher Ata B'Kirbot Ma'aseh Hashem Ki Norahu Asher Ani Osei Imach. I'm going to make a brief where everyone's going to see these greatnesses of me. This is in the same section here. They're saying, what was the brief? The brief is that anytime you say the Yugim Midot, you'll be forgiven. Okay, now this works according to what we're going to see, right? This is a Shaliach Tzibur, right? The words are a Shaliach Tzibur, which means it works on a global level, right, for the am, not necessarily for the individual, but as an am, and that's what we say to Yugimel Midot is b'tzibur, right, and they're something that works for the community. Okay, we're going to start to see differences between the yachid and the tzibur. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Gdola tshuva shemikra gzar dino shel adam, shneemar hashmein lev ha'am hazeh, v'oznav hachbed, ve'enav hasha, I think it's hasha, one second, enav, yeah, hasha, Pen yireh be'enav uvo'oznav yishma'u levavo yabim b'shav v'rafalo. Hashmein lev ha'am hazeh means they got fat. Fat people, it means they ate a lot of food. They weren't paying attention to other things, right? They weren't with God, basically. And oznav ha'chbeh, right? They weren't listening. They weren't seeing. They didn't do anything. But then b'shav v'rafalo. But even after that, if they go back and do tshuva, I will cure them. So now what do they say? Amar le'rav papa la'abaye b'doma lefnei gzardin. How do you know? That Rabbi Yochanan was saying this shows that you can basically remove a gzar din, a decree. If God decreed something, it can be removed. So now they say, and this is going to be our whole deal for the next little while, they're going to say, but how do you know that it was after gmar din? Maybe this is before gzar din. Amar le birafalo. It says, and I will cure him. When do you cure someone? After they've already gotten punished, right? After the gzar din. Ve'ezu dabar shesarich refua. Efe omer ze gzar din. Okay, so now we have this concept that Gzar Dino Shel Adam can be taken back. Meitive, but now we have a problem from a Braita. Hashav Bentayim Mochalin Lo. Here we're saying between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur you have the ability to do Mechila. Rosh Hashanah, we start the judgment. Yom Kippur, it's sealed. We all know this image. So now they say, if you do Tshuva Bentayim between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Mochalin Lo. Lo Shav Bentayim, What if you didn't? Afilu hevi kol elein nevayot shebaolam. You could bring all the elim, all, right? Why an ayel? Because from Akedat Yitzchak, right? Even if you bring all the elim shebaolam, ein mochalim lo, nevayot is from a place. They don't get mechila. So how could that be? We said a minute ago that God can take back his evil decree. And here we say, if you don't do it by Yom Kippur, last chance. You don't have any chances anymore. So now they explain, lo kasha, habi yachid, habi tzibur. When the gzeret din can be removed, that's for the tzibur. For an individual, though, once it's sealed, it's sealed. Again, I just want to, we talked about this a lot in Gemara and the way things develop. But the Gemara's approach is to try to reconcile all these contradictory statements. Clearly, you could say that these are different perspectives of people. Some people think it can be after gzeret din. Clearly, we don't know the answer to this. We don't really know the truth. So it could be different opinions. But the Gemara likes to kind of reconcile things. So they're trying to say, one is Yachid, one is Tzibur. Meitive, but now we have a contradiction. Enei Hashem lo kechaba. Remember that pasuk? Bereshit Hashana v'ad acharit Hashana. God is always looking at Eretz Yisrael. From there we learned that Rosh Hashanah is Tishrei. And that's when we get judged. Itim l'tova, itim l'ra. Sometimes for good, sometimes for bad. Itim l'tova ketzad. Harei shehayu Yisrael v'sha'in gemurim b'Rosh Hashanah. Okay, sometimes Yisrael could be Rasha'im Gemurim and Rosh Hashanah. U'pasku lahem g'shamim mu'atim. God said, I'm going to bring you just a small amount of rains. Lasof chazru bahem. So now what's he going to do? They did shuvah, so now what's going to happen? He already said, g'shamim mu'atim. Lo sifa lahem yafshar. Shafar n'gzirah gzirah. So already you see the problem. Because what's it saying? Once God said, I'm giving you a small amount of rain, you can't fix it. And we just said that if it's for the tzibur, you can fix it. Clearly the rain is for the tzibur. So what do they say? What does God do, according to this brightness, since he can't get rid of his gzirah? HaKadosh Baruch Hu moridam bizmanam al ha'aretz hatzricha lahem. Hakol lefi ha'aretz. What does that mean? We all know that rain... Sometimes it rains a ton, and they say, "Oh, it wasn't good though. It wasn't good rain. It didn't rain in the right places. It didn't." So, if he said only a small amount of rain is coming, he's at least going to bring it in the exact right time in the exact right place. Itim l'ra'ah. What's the ra'ah? Ketzad. Harei shayu Yisrael tzadikim gemurim b'Rosh Hashanah. Upasko lehem shamim rubim. L'sof chazru bahem l'pachom mehem. Chazru bahem. In the end, they did. They went in a good. I'm sorry. They were all tzadikim. And then they went in the bad way. So lipchomehem yeshar shekfarni k'zerag zera. I can't make any less. Ela kadosh baruch hu moridan shelo bezmanan al aretz sheinat zricha lahem. Okay. So now they ask the question: litovam bi'alikra'e l'gzar dinayim v'lo sif lehu. But if they go litova, according to what we just learned, we can remove the gzar din of the tova, right? So it's a tzibur. So now what do they say? A good answer: shane hatam de'efshar b'hachi. Since here there is some alternate, ideally, if God wants to, he can repeal the gzerah. But if he can do it without repealing the gzerah, if there's some other option, like bringing the small rains, but in the exact right time, and he can do it without repealing the gzerah, better off to do it that way. So in this case, there was a different solution. But if you don't have this solution, then God can actually repeal his gzerah. Okay, last source we'll see here, Tashma. Now we have another source that talks about this. Yordei hayam ba'oniyot, osei melacha b'mayim rabim, heimu ra'u ma'aseh Hashem, v'yomar v'yamor ruach sa'ara v'toromem galav, yachogu v'yanyu kishikor, v'yitzaku al Hashem b'tzarlem. This is Mizmor Tehillim, Kuf Zayin. Grab a Tanakh, because I want you to see inside for 1 minute. Okay, if you look in Kuf Zayin, you see all these backwards nuns. Okay, you know these from Ba'alotcha. Okay, we're going to read in 2 weeks. The backwards nuns. This also has the backward nuns. Okay, so we're going to see. So these are talking about the Yordei Hayam Ba'onio. The assumption here is they're Tzibor. Okay, they see Ma'aseh Hashem. There's this Ruach Sa'ara. It comes and it, and then they start calling out to God. Yodu L'Hashem Chasto. Asalehem Simaniot. So now the Torah, or the Tanakh has Simaniot here. Ka'akim v'rakim shebetorah, like the ach and rach shebetorah. Lomar l'chavoz amin ach v'rach, they come to be mima'eh. They come to say, it's not in every situation where people call out that they're going to be saved. Lomar l'cha, tza'aku kodem gzardin, na'anin. Tza'aku l'achar gzardin, einam na'anin. So, what are these nuns coming to teach you? It's not every time that people call out that they'll get saved. If it was before gzardin, then they'll get saved. And it was after gzardin, the same chiluk we keep making. But what's the problem? They're a tzibur, Yordei Hayam. So the Gemara answers no. Hanenami ki yichidim damu. These are considered individuals. Why are they individuals? Because they're individuals that went to the Yam. That's not a tzibur. It's not like the rain issue. Okay? So we'll stop here for today, and tomorrow we'll see another one like that, and then we'll see two different answers. I'll actually see one answer that's given, but then Rabbi Akiva in the end comes to teach the same distinction again, before Gzardin, after Gzardin. Okay.